White Rocket Entertainment. White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 327. Hello, and welcome to On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined for this sub-series of review episodes. I'm reading the old script, guys. I'm joined by my regular co-hosts for this portion of On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, where we are doing the World Cup of James Bond films, and we are well into it. There have been several episodes previous to this, so you may want to go back and catch up if you want to, or just jump in here. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts regularly for this feature, John Ringer. Welcome aboard, John.
Thanks, Ann. Glad to be here.
And Jared Albrick. Welcome back aboard, Jared.
Man, I am fired up. I mean, I can't even figure out which one's my favorite. I mean, I like Ice Station Zebra. Yeah. I like Dirty Dozen. Yeah. I like From Dusk Till Dawn. No. I'm ready to talk about Jim Brown.
No.
Jim,
well, no, it's not Jim. It's James.
Not Bond. Jim Brown. It's James. Oh, Bond. Okay. Yeah. It's take a bit more planning, but I can do that.
I was waiting for you to talk about, you know, you couldn't figure out which World Cup was your favorite. And you were like, well, there was this, you know, this the 86 one in Argentina was pretty cool.
The actual World Cup of World Cups.
World Cups. Yeah. That's
now we got an idea for another show.
Yeah, we'll do a World Cup of World Cups. I like it. Before we get going, I got to mention that Jared has started up another new show on this podcast channel called MI6 Rookie Agents. Tell the folks, if they haven't heard that yet, Jared, what's going on there?
Our Rookie Agents is a lot of fun, and you get it right here on the On Her Majesty's Secret podcast feed. Basically, that is me and my brother, who are lifelong James Bond fans, taking two of our friends, Delvin and Pat, from our other show, The Long Box Crusade. We're taking them through the entire series of James Bond movies, starting with Dr. No, going all the way through one movie at a time. So we get that real unique, fresh take of people who haven't ever seen these movies. And it's been a lot of fun. And the guys, I can tell, are slowly getting hooked into this mania that we have for 007. So you should check that out. It's lots of laughs and a new perspective. Because, I mean, a lot of shows do the go through the movie and discuss it and talk about details and trivia. And this, it's a lot of fun to listen to it through a new set of eyes or ears. Or anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah, and meanwhile, speaking of boring old shows that just go through the movie,
I don't want to say anything, but, you know.
Alan Porter of Bond Lexicon and other Bond-related stuff, he and I are going through the movies as well. So it's kind of like a companion series to each other, and it works out pretty well. Okay, so here is where we stand in the World Cup of Bond films so far. Just a quick catch-up. We started out with A, B, C, D, E, F. So we had, yeah, there's 24 official Eon-produced James Bond movies. So we had six groups of four. And we did sort of round-robin play, just like in the World Cup, among groups of four. And we ended up taking what we did was we would discuss and debate the four movies in each group that were kind of seeded from most popular movies to least popular of each four. And we debated them, and we voted them 3, 2, 1, or 0 points, added up all the points for each movie, and that determined who won the group, who got second in the group, who got third, and who got last. The winners got moved down to good spots in the second round. The second place got down to the not-so-good spots in the second round. And then we got some wild cards. So we've done all that already, and you can go back and listen to those shows that are on our feed back behind this one. I think I've now transposed them all over from the White Rocket feed onto this feed. I'll have to go back and check and make sure. So we've done all that, and then on our last episode, we did the first half of round two. So on our last episode, we had the group winners of A, B, C and F groups going up against some of the second and third place and wild card movies. So we had You Only Live Twice versus The Living Daylights, and You Only Live Twice advanced to the third round. We had From Russia with Love versus Moonraker, and From Russia with Love advanced to the third round. We had Goldfinger versus License to Kill, and Goldfinger advanced to the third round. And we had GoldenEye versus Spectre, and GoldenEye. So all of the favored movies won in the second round, part one, the first half of the second round. All the favorites won. All the one seeds advanced. There were no huge upsets. There was no St. Bonaventure over Duke or anything like that. So tonight, gentlemen, we do the other eight movies in four sets of battles. In game five, right? We did games one through four last time. So they've all been moved on to the third round and are seeded as A, B, B, C, C, and D, D. So now we have in game five, Live and Let Die, a winner from its group, versus Skyfall, a second place finisher. In game six, we have the winner of Group E, For Your Eyes Only, versus the second place, The Spy Who Loved Me, in from another group. In game seven, we have our first game among neither one being a group winner. So this will be wide open. We have the second place Honor Majesty's Secret Service and second place Dr. No. Ooh, that one's intriguing. And in game eight, we have second place Thunderball versus second place Casino Royale. Ooh, these are some tasty matchups tonight, folks. So I hope you guys are ready, because they're going to be rough and tough. There's going to be some fist flying and some fur flying, and there's going to be magnetic watches flying, and there's going to be darts shooting out of watches, and alligators biting people's arms off, and who knows what all. So planes depressurizing and throwing large round German guys out into space and all that. So
I have a radioactive pill that I'm going to swallow, so that'll be fun.
I have a tracker. I have one of these newfangled trackers in the heel of my shoe. That's pretty handy.
What you got, John?
I have a gun in the side mirror of my car.
Nice.
I thought
is it a white Pimpmobile?
I gotta say, John drives a white Pimpmobile. Yes.
You hadn't seen my car recently.
That's awesome.
Nice.
He pimped it out. But before we do, I had a really quick. I brought this up on the on the Facebook page that kind of originally gave birth to this show, which is called Secret Agents and Super Spies, or as I like to call it, the Dragon Con track that has not happened yet. And I asked this morning, and I want to get your guys' opinions on this. When you talk about Bond villains who have threatened to do the most damage and kill the most people, who would you say? I think I know who number one and number two are, and I don't think it's even close. But who would you guys say who do you think is the number one most deadliest villain that Bond ever has faced?
If he had gotten away with it. Like,
yes, if he'd gotten away with it, it would have done the most damage of anybody, the most killing.
I think it's your boy. That's who I think it is.
Yeah. I do too.
I think it's the Perry Como.
It is.
of James Bond villains. But I'm interested to hear what John thinks.
I'm trying to go through all their plots in my mind to try to calculate who would do the most damage. Why do you think that one?
I think there's two that are clear cut.
I got one.
And I think that the plots of both movies are very similar, just different environments.
All right, the first one you're thinking is Drax.
It's got to be Drax. Cause
I was going to say Moonraker is...
He wanted to kill freaking everybody that wasn't on his space station, so that wins easily.
Okay. So I think your other one is Mr. Kurt Jurgens?
Stromberg, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because he wanted to start a nuclear war that wouldn't have necessarily killed everybody, but it would have killed a whole lot of people and left the nuclear wasteland behind, so... Because he basically wanted to trigger World War III by launching those two missiles, which, by the way, John and I determined in our trivia a couple of years ago, that's like the only Bond movie where the nuclear weapons actually do explode. Did you realize good that, point. Dude?
I did not realize that. Mm-hmm. You got me for once.
Blew each other's submarines up. So
that's true. They totally did.
So who is so if it's Drax and Stromberg, and I think they win it in a walk. Who is third? This one's to me is tough.
I think it's clearly Elliot Carver.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Well, you're not necessarily wrong. He was trying to launch off of. Could have led.
He was trying to start
war.
A war with China, but
killed a lot of people. Britain versus China.
I think if we narrow the scope down to just like old men in the desert and little old ladies, Mr. Went and Mr. Kid do more damage than anyone
per capita.
Per capita, yeah. Actually, you know, you got to think maybe Blofeld.
There were a couple of Cold War ones where the bad guys were trying to start a war between the U.S. and the Soviet Union or NATO and the Soviet Union. And any of those kind of plots would have.
Yeah, so with like for you, like You Only Live Twice, I guess Blofeld was using the rockets to try to get them to fight each other, and that's true too. So, okay, so Blofeld, Carver, they're in the running for that. We can kind of leave it hanging. I don't want to spend all night on it. I just want to throw it out there because I just think the first two are so clear-cut that after that it gets a little hazy as to who really would have done the most damage. So a couple of people suggested on the Facebook page that maybe some of those drug lord-related ones like Yaphet Kotto and License to Kill would have killed a lot of people with their drugs. But, I mean, that's true, but it's not quite what I'm – it's not like that wasn't their main plan was to kill people. It's like if they die – it's kind of a side effect, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, whereas Stromberg and Drax wanted to freaking kill most of the human race, that was their point, you know, that was their goal.
Yeah, drug abusers generally kill themselves.
Yeah, yeah, so that's fair. All right, we'll leave it out there and see what the listeners think, if anybody thinks of one that we haven't thought of. All right, so let's get on into our first couple of games of our four games we're going to cover tonight. First up, is the winner of Group D, Live and Let Die, from 1973, versus the second place from Group F, Skyfall, which was the 50th anniversary movie from 2012. So the way we do this is we kind of throw it around the horn and each take our shots at like one or both, either individually or comparison, I guess. And when all three of us have had our say, then we... I guess for this round, we just vote on the winner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And two out of three falls win. So, all right. So, do you want to do them one movie at a time around? Or do you want to go them together all the way around? I guess we ought to do, well, we've already done them individually. So, I guess we ought to compare them this way going around, right?
Yes.
Sure.
It's like we remake the rules up every single time we do this because it's so long in between.
And you don't like the rules. If you don't like the rules, make your own podcast.
That's right. And if you don't like the rules, just wait till our next show. They'll be different.
They'll be different.
That's right. Oh, all right. Well, let's see. So, Jared, Live and Let Die versus Skyfall. Compare, contrast, and compete. Gosh. Compare, contrast, compete.
When it comes to the flavor of the movie, they couldn't be more different. Yeah. I mean, you've got the freshman outing for Roger Moore, which, okay, so Live and Let Die's got great boat chases. Mm. Live and Let Die, I will fight to this day to say it has the greatest menagerie of henchmen.
Yes.
You got Bear and Sandy. You've got Whisper, Teehee, Mr. Big, and Kananga. You know, Solitaire. You got the shell of the open. Oh, wait, that was Whisper. And you got Sheriff J.W. Pepper's brother-in-law. And you've got the cabbie. So, I mean, it's like an amazing lineup.
It is.
Of people. And it has David Hedison, who's my favorite Felix Leiter. So it's got a lot going for it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Skyfall has a completely different tone. It's a darker movie with a harder edge. It is fun to watch. It has that incredible, I'm always amazed by it, sequence. Fighting sequence where they're fighting in silhouette with the lights going on behind them, which what impresses the heck out of me is that they did that so well is you can tell who's who in the silhouette fight. You couldn't tell who was who in Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace, yeah. I knew that's what you were going for. Yes, when the lights are on, you can't tell who's who in Quantum of Solace, and when it's pitch dark, you can tell who's who in Skyfall. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a valid point.
It's got a lot of style points. The action's fun. Javier Bardem plays a great villain. I was riveted to the screen. Man, it is going to be tough when it comes down to votes. I still don't even know. It's just going to be a game time decision. But let's hear what John has to say. Maybe John, he convinced me.
Live and Let Die, Skyfall, and Skyfall, John. Compare, contrast, and compete.
I really enjoy. Let me say this first. I really enjoy Skyfall. I enjoy the scene Jared was talking about. I enjoy the scene, the big fight at the house. And how they, Bond has the let's go back in time, or we have the advantage thing. So I like all that stuff, and I like Javier Bardem. I think he's really good. The way his villain in this, but I just think Live and Let Die has a lot going for it for me from a Bond movie. Like the whole New York and then the Caribbean thing, and about the double identity for the villain, the voodoo angle, the whole. Like you said, the whole J.W. Pepper's boat chase thing is amazing by itself. Mm-hmm. But then you get into the Caribbean, you have the tarot kind of stuff, you have the voodoo, you have the, like you said, the multiple henchmen trying to kill him. Now, I think that maybe the difference is, we don't love the way the villain goes out in Live and Let Die. Mm-hmm. But overall, I just think there's a lot there, and while I enjoy Skyfall, and I definitely I'd watch it again right now. To me, just there's so much good stuff in Live and Let Die. I got to give it the edge.
Yeah,
I think, and I'm sorry to step on your thing here, Van, but I think this really boils down to how you like your Bond.
Yeah,
fair. Right.
If you like fun Bond, or if you like, hard edge Bond is. But anyway, Van, what do you got?
Yeah, no, I think that's legit to a certain degree. The only problem I have with that is I think you're right to a certain degree, Jared. The only issue I would take is I don't dislike the hard edge Bond. I mean, I like that we've gotten different Bonds in different eras. At the time, I might like or not like that particular Bond, but when I can go back and watch them all in one giant pile of 24 movies, I like that there's variation. I don't think I would want the same character 24 times. Yeah. So I like that I can watch Sean Connery for a while, and then I can watch Roger Moore for a while and get Lazenby in there for a little bit. I can then go to Brosnan, I can get a Craig. And there's another guy there.
left somebody out.
I did. But I like that there's that variation. So I don't really have a problem with there being different flavors of Bond. I just, it's when it's, when that flavor is in Skyfall, I don't like it as much. Because Casino Royale was so good, set the bar so high. And then parts of Quantum of Solace kept it that high. Other parts obviously did not. Skyfall, to me, though, I mean, I like that it's in Scotland. That makes me happy, the ending. And I like the opening scene on the train a lot, where Moneypenny shoots him and all that. So there's a few things about it I like. I don't like Bardem as much as most people do. I will give you that he is a very larger-than-life, over-the-top Bond villain of the old school. I will give you that. He is up there with Christopher Walken, with the Connery villains that were just cartoon characters almost. He has that. He really does. He's way better than some of them. There's no doubt about it. I just don't particularly like that particular over-the-top, big, larger-than-life. I mean, he does a great job. There's no doubt about it. He plays it the way he should, which is gnawing on the scenery and being even bigger than Bond. But it's just not enough to really make me... It's just not the particular direction I want to go. Live and Let Die, on the other hand, is really a special James Bond movie. And by the way, I think it's interesting that these two movies are together here, because, of course, Mendez is heavily influenced by Live and Let Die. It's like his favorite one, I think. He couldn't wait to put Daniel Craig in the black jumpsuit with the big brown shoulder holster. He loves Live and Let Die. So it's kind of interesting the two of them go together here. The thing that really helps Live and Let Die is that it was the first Roger Moore, and it's in some ways one of the more serious Roger Moores. I mean, Sheriff Pepper notwithstanding, okay? Without Sheriff Pepper, this would be a hard-edged, dark Bond movie. I mean, this is as close to Daniel Craig as Roger Moore ever gets, okay? I know he's still 8,000 miles away, but compared to all the other Roger Moores, even the beloved For Your Eyes Only, let's be honest, without Sheriff Pepper, Live and Let Die is as close to Daniel Craig as Roger Moore ever got. It really is, you know. So,
well, and yeah. And I would say Live and Let Die is the only Bond movie that genuinely scared me when I was younger.
Yes, absolutely. Scared me to death. That's right. And the music, it's got the great score. I mean, I totally agree with Jared. It's got the best rogues gallery of any Bond movie. I wish they don't even try anymore like that, right? They get the one big villain and they get the henchman. They go the Dr. No route. They've totally given up on the Live and Let Die route. They never go for the big rogues gallery. And that's too bad because it really works here. And they all had the same, you know, they all had similar themes kind of connected back to Haiti or, you know, whatever, the Caribbean island and all that. So they all were just different variations on the theme. Yeah, if we're going to vote, I'll go ahead and say, I believe John has already voted for Live and Let Die, and I'm going to close it out. I Live and Let Die all the way. Jared, what's your vote, just for the record? Not that it matters, record, of course.
Not that it matters.
It's totally inconsequential.
just like my appearance on every show, this is completely inconsequential. And before I vote, I just want to go on record and say Live and Let Die scared me, too. To this day, I can't go near a white pimpmobile. I'm ultimately gonna vote Skyfall. I know it's meaningless, but I like Skyfall just a little better than Live and Let Die. But man, what a tough round, because they're so different.
It really is.
Do you want this pumpkin pie or do you want this, you know, Snickers bar? I like pumpkin pie and Snickers bars. I just gotta be in the mood for
right.
Yeah. They're different, but they're good.
Yes, I hear you. All right, let's go to game six. We have the winner of Group E, For Your Eyes Only, that was very popular with the crowd here, versus the second place Group B movie, The Spy Who Loved Me, we were just talking about with old Stromberg. So...
More versus more.
Is this the only one with the same actor?
For tonight, it is.
Yes, that's correct. And we don't have any Pierce Brosnan tonight, which is very disappointing to me. We have, of course, GoldenEye is the only Brosnan one that's made it through to the third round. In fact, if we want to look at the actors right quick. We have now advanced five of the eight to the third round. And of the five we've advanced, we have a Connery, a Brosnan, and now a Moore. And we're about to get another more.
Starting to suspect my boy T-Dalt is not going to make it into the next round.
No, I don't think so. For Your Eyes Only versus A Spy Who Loved Me. So this time we'll start with John.
All right. So in this, we have two Roger Moore movies, one from a couple years before the other. For Your Eyes Only is the Greek Aegean version. Mm-hmm. Where with the girl with the crossbow, and it does have the kind of thing that I like, where he mistakes the villain for the sidekick good guy, and they end up switching.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it has the really young girl hitting on Bond, which is really creepy now. Scene where he has to drive the get her clunker getaway car from the assassination attempt, and a good ski chase. So I really like that, and a lot of underwater diving stuff, maybe too much. Spy Who Loved Me, it starts with a great ski chase. Maybe the best one is in that movie. Barbara Bach, as Agent XXX, and Kurt Jurgens, Carl Stromberg, who has the underwater base that rises up out of the water, Atlantis. I think for me, the big difference is they're very similar, but there's a little bit more stuff I like in For Your Eyes Only, but I could be convinced. Jared, what do you think?
I don't know that I'm going to be able to convince you, because I'm pretty hard in the paint for For Your Eyes Only here. I've got a lot of love and respect from Spy Who Loved Me. I think it's one of Roger Moore's I once heard it described as Roger Moore as most comfortable, at his most Roger Moore in the movies, and I can't disagree with that. But I got to fall back on what John said. For Your Eyes Only has got more stuff, good stuff, packed in it. You know, he mentioned ski chase, underwater dive battle versus the guy in the suit, and then a submarine fight and a mountaintop thing, and motorcycles trying to run over in town. And it is a nonstop thrill ride. It probably has a special place in my heart. It's one of the first ones I saw as a kid. I am not going to argue with John. The stunt in Spy Who Loved Me of skiing off the cliff to the parachute, still one of my favorite, if not my favorite, James Bond stunt still. It's got a lot of style. That Ken Adams set with the submarine pins is incredible. There's no slight on Spy Who Loved Me. I think Spy Who Loved Me is a very good Bond movie. I think Fear Eyes Only is a great Bond movie.
Interesting. Okay. This one is really hard for me because I have mixed feelings about these two movies. Correct me if I'm wrong. For Your Eyes Only, there's not a Sheriff Pepper type character in that movie, is there? I mean, they play it pretty straight.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't remember anything in it that just you're rolling your eyes at, like in some of the early ones. And
well, like John said, a lot of people roll their eyes at the BB doll thing.
Yeah.
But I always like to point out too that I thought they handled it with class, because even James Bond was like, you know, put your clothes on and I'll buy you an ice cream, you know? So I thought they handled that well.
I like that there's one Bond movie where Bond actually tells the girl, no, put your clothes on. It had to be like a 16-year-old figure skater or whatever, but yeah, that's cool. The thing about, I've mentioned this before on our shows, the thing about The Spy Who Loved Me is I'm forever tainted with that movie, because I know now in retrospect, I know that it was the big movie that was supposed to save the franchise, and it did, right? I mean, the Man with the Golden Gun was a more low-budget, you know, crank-em-out kind of movie that came out a year after the previous one, and the franchise was in one of its several swoons. You know, there have been several times in the history of the franchise that it looked like it was going to die, and it always comes back. This was one of those times, and they just said, let's throw everything we've got, put all the money up on the screen, and do a really big, big Bond movie, and we'll see if we can save the franchise. And that was The Spy Who Loved Me, and it did. The problem for me is, A, Catherine Bach, to me, is the least attractive Bond girl of all. I mean, honestly,
In fairness, it was Barbara, not Catherine.
Oh, that's... Well, if it had been Catherine, it would have been a little bit better, because she had been in those Daisy Dukes, and, you know, that would have been a little better. Maybe the General Lee could have come and failed him. Oh, if the General Lee had been the underwater car. Oh, whoa, universe is matching, universe is moving.
You just wrote the world's greatest movie.
Oh, wow. Bo and Luke drive the General Lee off into the water, and it turns into a submarine.
Somebody get Barbara Broccoli on the phone.
Oh my gosh, we got to do this. But yeah, that's the movie I was dragged to see when I wanted to see Star Wars in the theater in 1977, and I've never forgiven it. I've never forgiven my family. And so I get made. It gets just demerits. It gets emotional demerits from me.
So bitter.
I wanted to see Star Wars, and I was forced to see The Spy Who Loved Me, and I'm emotionally crippled from the rest of my life for that. So it's a big. It's one of those big Bond saves the world movies. Whereas with the other one is, you know, Attack to St. Cyril's, which is just not quite the same thing. So I'm really torn on this one. Does my vote even matter? Let's see. Who did? Let's recap. John, who did you vote for? Which one?
For Your Eyes Only.
And Jared, you voted for Your Eyes Only, right?
For Your Eyes Only.
All right, doesn't even matter what I say then. That's fine. I might as well make it unanimous.
Go with your heart.
Yeah, but it's just by a fraction, because they really are close. They really are close. But I'll say For Your Eyes Only just by a fraction. All right, game seven of eight is the second place finisher from Group A versus the second place finisher from Group C on Her Majesty's Secret Service. How'd that movie finish second to anything versus Dr. No? Oh my goodness! I believe we're back to Jared kicking us off.
Well, unless you want to lead. You haven't taken a lead yet.
Well, I will. All right. So this is really tough, too, because Dr. No, to me, is one of the three or four most underrated Bond movies. I feel like people look at Dr. No and think it's primitive. It's they haven't really figured out the formula yet, you know. But if you watch Dr. No, it is absolutely as much a Sean Connery Bond movie as any of them. They figured out plenty. And B, there's so many great moments in it. And like I was talking about with Alan a couple of months ago when we covered Dr. No, honestly, the more times I watch it, my favorite scene, it used to be my favorite scene would be at the end when he's battling Dr. No, but my favorite scene now really is just the way he abuses the Asian secretary woman that's supposed to be spying on him. I mean, I love the fact that he knows she's a bad guy, and he knows she's just keeping him around until the other bad guys can show up and kill him. And so he takes full advantage of the fact that she can't get rid of him. Anything he does to her, she has to take because she's under orders to keep him around and keep him interested and not let him go. So he is worse to her. Connery is worse to her than any Bond is to any woman, good or bad, in any of the movies, in such a machismo kind of way, you know? And she has to just take it. And it's hilarious. I think.
I don't know, man.
Great.
He blackmailed that girl in Thunderball that worked at the clinic and having sex with him.
Wow, that is true.
But I think that's a second place. I think you're still right. I think old Miss Taro had a dirtier deal.
He really, I mean, he just, oh.
But she deserved it. She was villainous.
Exactly.
That poor lady at the clinic, man. She just wanted to keep her job. All
right. So Dr. No has great, great couple of moments and everything. It's a wonderful movie, totally underrated. But on Her Majesty's Secret Service, we've talked about this movie a million times. It is, in many ways, the best James Bond movie. It is underrated with the general public, though with the Bond cognoscenti like us, it is not underrated. It is exactly rated. And it is such a fantastic movie. It easily wins for me, even though Dr. No is such a strong contender. Let's see. John, I believe this time, is up.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, you can be. On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Dr. No.
I have to agree with you about Dr. No in terms of just the classic nature of it. I mean, it is number one, right?
Yep.
And we went into detail about this when it happened, but there's a lot of things that kind of set the tone for the whole series in it. But then it's also, you know, in many ways, because it's the original, not as good as the later movies in a lot of the things that it does. And so I think, you know, to me, like Her Majesty's Secret Service, there's a lot more there. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot more going on. That's kind of my thoughts. Jared?
Yeah.
I feel like this is the toughest one. While you guys were talking, I was doing some pros and cons in my head. Here's the weird thing, guys. I think this is going to boil down to the ultimate balance of my scales is going to be soundtrack.
Ah, interesting.
That's because fair.
Because I feel like Connery is better than Lazenby.
Yes.
But just like John said, the story is weightier.
Mm-hmm.
Without being forced or too weighty, as we'll see later on in the series, and like Spectre, where they try to force things.
Oh, God.
This is real weight, real consequence. Good villain. Got a good villain, Joseph Wiseman. It so balances out. And then in my head, I was like, "Well, what could tip the balance?" And I went, "Better soundtrack, Majesty's."
There you go. And
that's how close it is for me.
Mm.
It went all the way to soundtrack.
Let me ask you this real quick. Is Felix is not in Honor Majesty's, is he?
I ain't going to go no on that. No, it's that blonde guy.
Yeah, and that's right. And you've got Draco, right?
Yeah, you got
that's
Draco.
Helper. Sometimes you have Felix, sometimes you have a helper, and sometimes you have both. And this one, it's one of the great, he's one of the great helpers, one of the great Bond
Draco
helpers.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the great Bond helpers are Tiger Tanaka, Draco, and Karim Bay. Those three are the holy trinity of Bond allies to me.
Man, blonde guy gave his life.
He did, but he just wasn't terribly interesting.
I've
I mean,
seen them advertised, I tell you.
He what?
I said, he was seen them advertised, I tell you. Oh. I think that was the last thing he said before he got murdered.
Oh, okay. He did.
But I see what you're saying. But,
it would have been better if we'd known anything about him, but the movie was already 2.5 hours long. They didn't need to go off on a tangent to get to introduce us to the virtues of the blonde dude that gets killed.
The blonde dude, who we can't remember his name.
Right. I think we're going to have to say Honor Majesty's won that round. I kind of got lost there at some point, but I believe that our Game 7 winner is on Her Majesty's. So we are to the last one. And the last one is a tough one, too, because you have one of the great Connery 60s Bonds, which it's hard to top those, as we already learned in the last round. And you have what is, I think, inarguably the greatest Daniel Craig that really takes advantage of being in the 2000s with all the flash and the high tech and everything like that. So, gentlemen, I give you Thunderball and Casino Royale, and Jared, you get to start us off.
Oh, let me go ahead and make everybody real angry. to me, this is the battle of the more overrated James Bond movies.
Oh, wow.
I'm not huge on either one of these. Again, keep in mind, we're within a universe. So in the entire movie universe, are they great? Yes, they are. In the Bond movie universe, these are middle of the packers for me. There's things about both of them that I like. Thunderball, you're right, it's real 60s and fun. And, got the eye patch. Anytime you got a villain with an eye patch is awesome. And
Largo.
And yeah, you got beautiful women and lots of bathing suits, and that's always a good time. But I'm gonna be honest with you, they were so enamored with that underwater photography, which was fairly cutting edge at the time. They used a lot of it, and I mean a lot. There are long periods of time when there's like no dialogue or anything. I mean, there's a scene where we get to sit and watch James Bond wait for a helicopter to find him, and I just get sleepy. It's the only Bond movie I've ever nodded off during. It always happens in that last underwater battle because it's just, whew, and I don't want to make anybody mad. It's still a good movie. It's a great movie, but it lulls.
They could cut then 5 minutes out of some of that and tighten it up a little bit. And it would
Going to get the bombs, to moving the bombs, to the underwater. But anyways, there's a lot of underwater stuff that lulls me. It's very relaxing. Yes. And then Casino is, I've talked about this before. I might have a personal vendetta against it because I thought I'd get the comeback feeling that I got from GoldenEye when I went to see Casino, and I didn't get it. And I think it's because the movie peaks a little too soon, and it peaks at its crescendo, and then there's like another 30 minutes of movie. And
that's
then
fair.
Like,
no, that's totally fair. I that was my original complaint with it, too. I agree.
And I liked it. I just wasn't in love with it like everybody else did, but Craig was cool. The theme song was super cool. If it's a battle of theme songs, then Casino will get it. I'm going to hold my vote until I hear you guys talk because you might sway me. I'm really in the middle on this.
Yeah, very interesting. John, Thunderball versus Casino Royale, 1965 versus 2006.
I mean, you do have all the great underwater stuff in Casino Royale. Thunderball, I'm sorry. Casino Royale, you have Daniel Craig being the early Daniel Craig James Bond, but also I think the best version of himself, which is the Bond who doesn't give up, who just keeps coming. I mean, I like that movie because from the opening scene where he chases the guy through the construction site, the great card playing scene, and we're in the middle of it. You know, in the middle of one break, he fights some guys with knives down a stairwell. In another break, he has a heart attack and has to restart his heart in his car. Yep. we have kind of the plot twist with the girl at the end. I really like that movie. I think there's a lot there. Casino Royale, I mean, Thunderball is kind of the classic, early Bond movie. And I think how we talked about it at the time, it was maybe supposed to be the first one. And there's a lot there. It's a very kind of Cold War Bond movie. with the, you know, the two atomic bombs and blackmailing NATO and all that kind of stuff. But I, to me, in terms of a movie watching experience now, I much prefer Casino Royale.
Very interesting. You guys are raising really interesting and very valid points. This one's tough for me too, because of the fact that in any time I rank the 24 movies, these are both easily both in my top five. They're both, I mean, these are top five. The only thing that ahead, that's ahead of these for me is Like You Only Live Twice. And other than that, it's, they're right up there. So, I mean, they might even be top three. So it's extremely difficult for me to choose between them. And I don't even like Daniel Craig that much. That's how good of a movie I thought Casino Royale was. And interesting thing, too, I totally agree about Casino Royale peaks soon and then it has a, like a long trailing off. And then you could also argue that it trails off into half of Quantum of Solace, because you don't get a full resolution of that story until halfway through Quantum of Solace. But on the other hand, it's a testament to how strong what is there is, because you get such great, great stuff. But the thing with Thunderball is, to me, Thunderball is the movie because it was the fourth, okay? With Dr. No, you first get a sense of Sean Connery's Bond and an arch villain and a girl and a helper. And with From Russia with Love, it's a little different movie, but you got the henchman and, you know, you got the guy up against him. With Goldfinger, you get the template of the later Bonds, with the super villain with a big plan all the way through, and Bonds kind of gets captured by him and escapes and seduces his woman and all that. I mean, it's the template. Thunderball, to me, is the one where they took all the cool stuff from all the other movies so far and threw it all together in one package. Because in Thunderball, every scene just about has something cool going on in it. You've got, is James Bond dead or alive? Like, we'll see that again later, but you see it here first. You see Bond punching a guy in drag that you think is a woman at his at his own funeral. You see the jetpack.
Conveniently placed jetpack. Mm-hmm.
Which is really bizarre. You see,
yes.
You see the Aston Martin with the jet, with the oil slick and everything. I mean, that's just in the pre-credit sequence, the pre-title sequence. So there's so much stuff through it. The underwater stuff gets everybody's attention, but there's a whole lot of other stuff to that movie. There's a lot more going on. It is a good Cold War thriller all the way through the middle of it. I think Largo is a great villain. I mean, he could have been a Blofeld, honestly. I mean, I know he's number two, but he could have been, that actor could have played a version of Blofeld. Many people would say he'd have been a better Blofeld than Charles Gray. I like Charles Gray, but you know what I mean. Just everything about it. So Thunderball to me is fantastic. I agree you could trim a few minutes out of the underwater stuff, but I have a fast forward button, so it's not a problem.
So, cheater.
So, right. So not that I do, but I just could. So, yeah, I mean, I like Sean Connery infinitely more than Daniel Craig. And so when it really comes down to it, that probably is the difference. I'm going to have to go Thunderball. Now, I don't know whose turn it is to vote. Jared, you haven't cast a vote yet. Which one did you go for, John?
I'm voting Casino Royale.
Okay, Jared.
No, man.
You
I've made my decision before anything was said there, but...
Yeah.
It boils down to this, gentlemen. For our other show on our network where we do rookie agents, I bring trivia questions for the guys. So I watched Thunderball this weekend. I was writing trivia questions down as I was watching it, and nothing got written down for the last 45 minutes. That's how much nothing happens in the last. I mean, there's a lot going on, but there's like nothing of substance going on. I'm going Casino It's got a lot of great set pieces. It might not have stitched together perfectly, but a lot of memorable and exciting pieces to it. I think it boils down to him blowing up that guy in the tarmac of the airport. I really like that part.
That is a good scene. That really is a good scene. Absolutely.
So good.
I'm going to go Casino. There's no anger or anything like that towards Thunderball. Just ultimately, Casino holds my attention better.
I just want to point out, folks, I was the champion of Thunderball here. I was the one that had Sean Connery lose to Daniel Craig. It's an embarrassing moment. So let me see what we got. as far as who the Bonds are now in the finals, we're gonna have Connery, Brosnan, Moore, Lazenby, Craig.
So, not a bad lineup. Somebody's missing, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody, just one is missing, though. Lazenby gets through, and the big three other ones get through, and we just don't have Timothy Dalton, unfortunately. So, all right, so stay tuned here for 1 second. I'll tell you what the third round will look like, but first we got to thank our patrons. And also, again, we have our other two shows in this network, but if you're listening to this one, I'm sure you know about them. So check out MI6 Rookie Agents and the show that Alan and I do, reviewing all these movies individually in order. Got to thank our patrons that keep us on the air. If you want to help support shows like this on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast and the White Rocket Podcast, as well as AU Wishbone, if you happen to be an Auburn or SEC football fan, you want to sign up for as little as $1 a month and climb on the patron bandwagon at patreon.com. Just go to Patreon, patreon.com, and just search for Plexico. The page will pop right up. Of course, the easy way to get to any of the stuff that we're talking about here is go to www.plexico.net, P-L-E-X-I-C-O, plexico.net. It has links to everything. We got to thank our patrons, our big-time patrons, Nicholas Cottrell, Josephine, Christopher Burleson, and Samuel Salvatore, and then Neil Dyer, Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com, Steve Trewick, Richard Stevens, and Justin Bean. And then there's David Evers, Tom Anderson, Timothy, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Andrew Barber, Jared Albright, perhaps you've heard of him, Rich Reimer, Bill Matthews, Chris Usher, Will Summerford, John McCune, and Catherine England. And then we have David Simpson, Josh Teal, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, C.T. Wayne, Earl Ricks, Dave Powell, Michael Kirshner, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, George Gaston, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, Clay Henson. And at our level that just keeping our foundation firm is J.W. Rice, Wardam Wade, Dave Medinas, Mark Squire, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Russell Milling, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth, Brent Rains, Brent Ramble, and Nicholas Craig, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. Thank you guys so much. If you want to join the party, be part of the show, have your name in here, and we'll be coming up with various activities. Jared, by the way, has just started a Twitter account for our show on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast Twitter account. And Jared, how do they find that? Because you've been doing a lot of fun stuff with that on there, which I really appreciate.
Hey, no problem. Yeah, we're doing giveaways and raffles and contests and polls and stuff. It's very interactive. Come check us out on Twitter at OHMSPod, P-O-D. That's our handle, at OHMSPod. And if you want to send in questions, comments, trivia questions, anything like that, send it to OHMSPod@outlook.com.
Awesome. All right. And lastly here, we wrap up tonight. Here's how the third round is going to look. We are going to have in the first game of the there's only four games for the third round. We're going to have in the first game, You Only Live Twice versus Casino Royale. Oh.
Battle Royale.
In the second game of round three, we'll have From Russia with Love versus On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Ooh, that was the final when we did this on Facebook a couple of years ago. Wow.
I'm going to go License to Kill on that one.
That was... It's funny. In the third game of round three, next time, the three of us will be looking at Goldfinger versus For Your Eyes Only. And finally, the final game of the third round will be GoldenEye versus Live and Let Die.
Mm-hmm. Man, good films in there.
Those are tough. Those are tough. It doesn't get easier, gentlemen. All right, so we got to wrap things up and get on out of here. Be sure to check out the other shows on this fine channel, and also remember that we have the White Rocket Podcast, which is the sister show that's been around a bit longer, where we started out with this kind of show before we spun it off into its own channel. And on that show, Jared and I do some things like we were doing the Babylon 5 and Quantum Leap rewatch we got to get back to. John and I, of course, regularly do our Game of Thrones review shows, and we've done some Lord of the Rings review shows and stuff like that. So we've always got something fun going on the White Rocket channel. Just look for on iTunes for White Rocket Entertainment or the White Rocket Entertainment Network on Podbean. Guys, any last thoughts before we wrap it up for tonight?
Just looking forward to piling into John's blimp and flying out of here.
Oh, did you say blimp?
The rest of our discussion must, of course, be confidential. Would you wait outside?
If you'd like me to, yes. Excuse me. Thank you.
Mayday, I provide you with a drink.
This way.
Does anybody else want to drop out?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.